This is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm David Brancaccio. Now to the business of education and the arts. Today, the economics of a great marching band at a historically black university, as told by the band leader. Prairie View A&M University in Texas. The band is the marching storm, where resources are a challenge, but not the energy.
My name is Timmy Zachary. I'm the director of bands at Prairie View A&M University. Prairie View is a special institution. The quality of the engineering program, the quality of the architecture program, the quality of the pre-med biology program is phenomenal. But a lot of our students come because they see the band do whatever they do, and they say, hey, let me check this school out. Even though I may not be in the band, that looks like a place I would want to be. The resources based on what we do at HBCUs are always going to be geared toward science, STEM. That's just where we are in the 21st century and where HBCUs are. A lot of the band cultures stem out of the late 60s and 70s. So most of the environmental and facilities come from the 70s. And being mindful that the largest band that I've had since I've been here was 410 people. Imagine trying to put 410 people in about 3,000 square feet. Luckily enough for us, they're building a new band facility, which is five times larger than the current facility. We're not trying to kill the environment, so everyone reads music on an iPad, which we had the opportunity to invest in through the university during COVID, which we fostered and kept going. We're probably at the vanguard of technology with all band programs, not just HBCUs. But it's not out of our desire to, you know, get into the future with the Jetsons. It's out of the desire to stay out of the era with the Flintstones. All bands do the same thing, but it's like the genres that we pull from are more popular, so people are able to connect to them differently. You could play Phantom of the Opera. It's just not going to get a response unless you're in front of people who understand Phantom of the Opera. And that's the allure to HBCU bands. Being synchronized with 360 people and have them turn on a dime in 10 seconds and go a different direction together. That says something about those individuals. It says something about that institution. And I think that even though it may be unbeknownst to the students who are watching it and witnessing it, that is a ploy. That is something that is going to act as a rod and reel and pull them in. I want to be a part of that environment. I want to be, even if I'm just cheering for it, with that. Not very many people have seen an HBCU band live because there aren't that many of them in the landscape of how many bands are in America. There are only 14 in our conference, and this is the Power Band Conference. There are no better HBCU bands. For every first-time viewer of an HBCU band that I've gotten to speak with, I say 99 out of 100 of them were in absolute awe. They had no idea that what we were able to do could be done. We don't think about the cost of what a band is to a university and what it actually costs to sustain a band. And of course, they get it back in other ways of revenue. But I'd like for people to use that exposure to expose the fact that we don't have all the resources that we need in order to do this. We just, like I said earlier, we make it happen, we make it happen, and we make it happen. To be in a space where not only you're recognizing our talent, but you're supporting it. I think that that would be an ideal space for us. And that would give us an opportunity to perform for more people. There are a limited number of HBCUs in the country, especially those that have HBCU bands of note. So we're talking maybe 30 bands out of 3,000 across the country. So when you put it into perspective, seeing an HBCU band is kind of rare. It's not as hard as winning the lottery, but it's on the way there.